We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Happy Sunday night, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, sponsored by WinBet. We thank them for their sponsorship all year long. I am Scott Jenstead, joined as always on Sunday nights by Jeff Erickson. Well, for at least two more Sunday nights. We got two more weeks left of the season. Jeff, we are officially at the very, very, very end. How is everything with you?
Well, hey, my Reds have lost eight consecutive series, so how do you think I am?
Really, eight series in a row?
Yeah, including some against stellar teams like the Pirates, the Cubs twice, and the Marlins in that stretch. The Cardinals, of all teams, are the team that's going to win this second wild card spot. They've won eight in a row, will never lose again. So, I'm loving life other than that. But, no, I'm good otherwise. It's my daughter's birthday. It was a good day. You know, nice. In life, just wasn't a good day in baseball.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, the A's won today, and I felt like it was a loss because, like, they just blew it so badly. And I just so disgusted they keep throwing Sergio Romo out there in big spots, like – it's just so frustrating. And, you know, fantasy-wise, I have Frankie Montas. He throws a one-hitter. He's at 86 pitches, and for some reason, Bob Melvin takes him out of the game. Knowing that your bullpen's terrible and Chafin just pitched the night before, who's been your best reliever, like, I have no idea. And then I read a story about the game, and no one asked him why. Everybody's like just talking about how well Montas pitched, how gutsy the team is to win the game late by one run, and how good they are in one-run games. I'm like, did no one ask the question, why did he come out? Was he tired? Does he say he was tired? Did he say he was hurt? Like, it's just... I don't know. I read two stories and I gave up because I just nobody asked the question. It was bonkers to me.
Yeah, it's frustrating. And then you see all these reports like, oh, he's going to get hired away. What sort of compensation can the A's get for him and all that? And he's a good manager.
I do. I love Melvin. I think he's a good dude, a good manager. But if there's anything I could critique, and you know, everybody's got something that they don't do as well. It's definitely bullpen management, which he's had some issues for in the past.
Yeah. Yeah,
not that it's easy with the group he has. I fully get that.
Exactly. I mean, it's frustrating. I really think that he's actually one of the better managers in terms of managing the people. It's just the tactics get magnified this time of year.
They do.
And you see it in all sports like that. You know, you football, you see it all the time. You see all, you know, decisions, whether to kick or punt or what, you know, things of that nature all the time that get highlighted. You don't see the management of people. You don't see that as often. That's just as important, I think.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. So before we do get into week 26, I think it is now, I want to talk a little bit about what you do kind of when the season's ending baseball-wise. I know that obviously you run RotoWire, you got football, you got basketball, you got golf, you got all kinds of stuff going on. When do you start thinking about baseball for 2022? I know 2022 might be a little bit up in the air, but what's your usual, like, when are you starting to think about, prepping for next season, doing projections, that sort of thing?
So I start talking about it now. I start talking about this month, you know. In fact, doing more podcasts in September helped me start the whole process. And I get excited about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost to the detriment of finishing out for the last couple of weeks of the season sometimes. Right. Maybe it's just because I want to just wash my hands sometimes. It's a palate cleanser. But then I will take some time off from it. You know, I won't be doing too many October podcasts or November podcasts for that matter. I will be doing projections starting October. I've got the, you know, typically XFL drafts in October. So I have to think about that right away.
Yeah,
you know,
that's quick.
Yeah. And even if it does, this year looks like it might be December instead. Well, we'll see, because not everyone's going to first pitch Arizona this year. Right. But, you know, I'm going to first pitch Arizona and I'll be on a panel there. And that's great. Trains my focus really quickly.
Yeah.
You know, get that. That's one thing that's really fun about that. But, yeah, and then, you know, I hope to be done with the first wave of projections by end of November, maybe even, and then the next wave early December. And then, you know, and in January and February, you're constantly adding and tweaking. You know, I do, you know, okay, missed on this player, better add him. Right. You know, I do some drafts and I do some reality checks. I'll tell you that the best thing that you can do to test your own set of rankings and projections is to do a draft and see that guy that's hanging at the top of the queue.
Yep.
Hanging around. Oh, I don't want to draft him yet. I don't want to take him yet. Okay, well, I better change that projection.
Yeah, so heads with the helps with those head to head like close calls too. When you're actually pushed to make a decision on, you know, two pitchers that you have really close, I think you get a pretty good feel of who you like better when you in the moment you have to make a call.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah. Any changes to your prep? You know, as you've kind of we talked about lessons learned from us. I mean, anything you think you're going to do different? Anything you think that you need to improve upon? How are you going to change your prep to be better in 2022?
I'm going to try, is the emphasis, try not to be too swayed by recency bias.
Okay.
I think I look way too much at the most recent year and not at the overall skill sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. This year was tough with that too, with the 60 game season. Like there was, it was a tough year to do that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, you get into November, that's really early. I usually don't till about February. I think I might try and, lengthen that a little bit, maybe cram less in March and do a little bit more in January. This year, I just got super busy and I have to protect against the fact that that could happen again. Like I could get super busy with life and work and stuff. And I need to kind of be a little more prepared. And I usually wait till a couple things come out and that kind of thing. But with the amount of stuff that's online and, you know, between Fangraphs and Baseball Savant and RotoWire, like there's no reason you can't do stuff whenever. It's not like not like you have to wait for magazines to come out or articles to come out or anything like that. It's all pretty much there.
Yeah, that's true. It is. It's just really, yeah. And I think I probably need to be a little bit more systematic. I probably need to like start thinking, okay, now I'm going to look at saves today. I'm going to look at, you know, this week. Yeah. I'm going to look at that. I already think I want to try to do something, start maybe in January, where I do like a shorter daily pod team by team by team. I want to get a different person for that, for each team. I just need to do it. But I want, you know, football needs to be done before I do that. That's the other thing.
Thanks to our friend Mark Winokur, who said the only things he missed about this season is this podcast. So I do appreciate that. Sounds like he's had a rough season. Feels like he's had a lot of rough seasons out there for people. But yeah, I think I may start a little bit earlier, but maybe not like quite as intense with the thought that, you know, maybe the last like 3 weeks of March before draft, I don't have to be, you know, driving myself crazy, staying up till 2 a.m, you know, doing rankings and stuff. So that's it might be a good idea. I don't want to do too much early because I do tend to get burnout if I do that. And I play basketball too. So there's only so much I could do, but I think that I definitely did not come in as prepared as needed to the draft this year, and I think it's affected me.
Yeah, well, and you missed on your trip to Vegas. You missed the live draft, and honestly, that drive, talking with you and Vlad and Shu, it helps me focus a lot. And then just, you know, while we're there, even when we're golfing there, we're still talking about players. We're talking about what happens with this. I still remember a couple of years ago, okay, here – we really nailed when the closer run was going to happen and how we'd react to it. I might not have nailed other things, but at least I nailed that.
You say that though. And like you and I think pretty much decided we were drafting Frankie Montas 2 years ago because we talked it through either on that drive or at breakfast. And before he got suspended for PEDs, like he was one of the bigger draft bargains. And you know, it was funny. We looked at each other's draft. We both got in the exact same round. We kind of just figured like, it's a spot where we're going to draft him and take him 2-3 rounds early, but it's going to work. And, you know, talking stuff through and kind of figuring out where you are on people, it does help me a lot. Cause I tend to, if I just do it myself, I get a certain amount of way, but hearing other people talk and kind of talking stuff through is really important and fun.
But you know, there's sometimes where you're going to cite something that I hadn't seen. I was like, okay, it changes my way. There are other times though, it confirms my interest in a player. And if you're on the guy and I'm on the guy and Vlad's on the guy and Shu's on the guy all independently. And we're all coming together and we're all like, okay, well, okay. That means also other people are on that guy. We better boost him up too. But B, it confirms my interest a lot.
I think the golfing adventure is going to be a little grown this year. It sounds like there's probably 10 or 12 people that want to play this year. So I think that'd be fun. That'd be fun.
It will be.
I know Matt Modica, who has been playing like every day and referring to himself as young Rory, wants to get out there with us. So I'm looking forward to maybe put a couple bucks on the match with Matt. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, it will be. We'll have our own little Ryder Cup. Can't wait for the Ryder Cup this week too, by the way.
No doubt there. So let's jump into week 26. It's a crazy week of baseball. There are 13 teams that have a full 7-game slate. There's two teams that have 8 games, with obviously 6 plus a doubleheader. That's the White Sox and the Cardinals. And the Indians, I think they're still the Indians. The Cleveland baseball team has 9 games with 2 doubleheaders. So what is that? 5 full games and 4 7-inning games. So that's a lot of innings right there. So that's a big schedule there. We have a team that has 5 games and a doubleheader in the Royals. And then we have two teams that have 5 games total. Boston and New York, the New York Mets, they're really a disadvantage this week. There's so many teams, a lot of games. Boston and Mets are really rough this week. The Rockies are home all week too, facing the Giants and the Dodgers, 6 at home in Coors Field. So we could have a lot of action this week, Jeff. A lot of runs. I think we're going to have a lot of big RBI and run numbers as you get so many games kind of adding up. We got a lot of guys throwing twice this week. It's kind of the last moving week too. I think the last week of the season, there's not a lot of movement. Sometimes there is, but like so many pitchers don't pitch that last weekend. It's hard to really, of all the weeks, you definitely have way less at bats for your whole team that week too. So it's a harder week to really make a move. If you're going to make a move, a final kind of push, I think it's got to be this week.
Yeah. Well, you're already talking how it's already been bad this last 2 weeks. I saw a tweet of yours earlier in the week saying that you lost a couple starts, guys going on the IL or guys getting their starts canceled.
I had 14 strikeouts as of Friday because I had, I think I had 12 innings pitched as of Friday.
Oh my goodness.
Jake McGee didn't pitch. He went and then he went in the IL. Brady Singer was going to pitch and then went on the COVID IL. And I had, at that point, I had Ryan Pressly, who didn't pitch the first 5 games of the week or 4 games of the week. I looked and I was like, I had made 2 starts. It was like one of them was 4 innings and one of them was Frankie Montas, who threw 3 innings earlier in the week. He made up for it today, but like it just weirdly worked out that way. We're like, I just got killed in strikeouts because I had nobody out there pitch.
Yeah. And yeah, I've had that. I can't buy a win. You know, Yu Darvish pitched great yesterday and the Padres bullpen blew it. You know, finally got the, you know, good Darvish again.
Yep.
With a little help from the home plate umpire. But
hey, you know, if they want to give some help, I'm willing to take it.
Yeah. And both sides got some help. I mean, let's face it. Tingler got ejected from that game for a strike call. Because Tatis lost his mind, after getting, rung up, but, fortunately didn't get himself tossed in part thanks to Manny Machado. But, it's just, things are going great. Great for everyone here.
Yeah, it's funny. You talk about the Padres. Like, the Cardinals got so hot. The Padres are 3.5 out of that second spot. They're tied with the Phillies, a half game behind your Reds. It's wild how fast that swung between them and the Blue Jays. Like, we're way back 6 weeks ago, and now are both in a playoff spot.
Yep, that's right. It's the Reds and the Padres just abdicated, though. I mean, the Cardinals got hot, and they had to take it, but it was presented for them to take, and they did take it.
The Padres are 2-8 in their last 10. I mean, they're just getting killed right now.
Yeah, and you saw it a long time ago. They had an easy stretch. They didn't take advantage of the easy stretch. They struggled against Arizona and Colorado. The Reds, well, like I said, we've covered that ground. But you know, the Phillies and the Reds had the two easiest schedules after the trade deadline, and they haven't done enough with it.
Yeah, it's been interesting. Who pitches a 1-game playoff for the Cardinals against the Dodgers? Do they throw Jack Flaherty out there and hope he can give him 5 innings because he's about to come back? I assume that you got to just swing for the fence with that, right?
Man, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, unless you trust Wainwright and you want to throw him out there. I mean, he's earned it.
Yeah, I'd go Wainwright at this point.
I mean, he's certainly earned it. He's been awesome all year. It's hard to take that away from him. I think that we can agree that Flaherty has a more chance of like throwing 7, you know, 1 earned run innings or something like that. But Wainwright's probably earned the right to go make that start.
When's Wainwright throwing a good playoff start anyhow? Oh, wait, never mind.
Yeah, right. Ask Carlos Beltran.
He was a closer back then.
Yeah.
Though.
He finished the game then. That was a great game. It's too bad that the way it worked out and nobody remembers Andy Chavez's catch because they lost, but unbelievably good game. But
or the incredible playoffs that Beltran had leading it.
He had a couple though. I mean, that dude was a stud in the playoffs. But Going back to this week, we got some teams with a nice schedule. You mentioned the Phillies. They have a really good schedule. They have three against Baltimore and four against Pittsburgh. A really nice setup there for them. Your Reds have a really good schedule for hitters this week. Three against Pittsburgh, four against Washington. Obviously, the Washington pitching staff is not what it was at the start of the year. The Rangers are kind of nice, too. If you're looking to pick up some bats, these are good teams to kind of get fringe bats from. The Rangers have three in Yankee Stadium. They get four against the Orioles also, so really good schedule there.
Yeah.
Just a note on AL teams going to NL parks. The Red Sox do go to Washington Friday through Sunday. Got to think JD Martinez probably sits one of those games. I would think at least maybe two in the outfield, one of those games. But you're probably going to lose a couple at bats from JD over the weekend.
Yeah, probably so. Good thing about the Reds in that four-game series against Washington is they cannot lose two out of three. It is impossible to lose two out of three if they play all four games. So
again, I was going to say rainouts are going to be the end of you there. But yeah, that's tough. I'm looking at who they face there. They face
Corbin, Fetty, and Rogers, right?
Yes, that is what I see too. That's Josh Rogers. There's a lot of Rogers in the league. Espino pitched really well today. He had a pretty good week. For those who grabbed him for the cheap two-step, it was nice. But at Cincy, Patrick Corbin, you got to figure that's going to be some runs for the Reds right there.
Could be. Wow. 6.11 ERA. 6.11. That's crazy.
He had a stretch of like three or four really good starts in the middle, and everybody picked him back up, and it's been yep. rough since then. And Fetty's actually been decent. We're going to talk about him and Fab in a second, but if the Reds can't score some runs this week, then I don't know. It's going to be tough. Who the Cardinals play four at Milwaukee and then four against the Cubs. It's a huge week. If the Cardinals can go 5-3 this week, I think it's over. But there's a chance they go 3-5. That's a tough little stretch there.
Yeah. I know he's on the list, and we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I did pick up John Lester for his two-step this week. Last time I picked up John Lester, I was fired up to ask you if you went back into the waters or not. Dude, I just need wins, period. Yeah. I can't be discriminatory at this point in time. He's pitching well for the Cardinals because Cardinals double magic, and the Cardinals obviously are playing well. I mean, the Brewers are on cruise control right now. The only problem is it is against Woodruff. That's the thing I don't like about that. Yeah. The other starts against Alec Mills.
So let's get into Fab. That's what we're here to talk about. But first, before we get there, a note from our sponsor, WinBet. There's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire. It's making good decisions. And even more so, it's making the right decision. Listen up. I have an incredible offer for you from RotoWire's newest partner, WinBet, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WinBet is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. WinBet brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more all at your fingertips. If you want to break from sports betting, head into WinBet's digital casino. Take a spin on roulette, double down in blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at baccarat. WinBet is currently available in six states, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, while rapidly expanding it all the time. At WinBet, the possibilities are limitless. WinBet is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WinBet now. That's W-Y-N-N-B-E-T. WinBet. The exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcast.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, Jeff, let's start with John Lester then. You mentioned him. He's at Milwaukee, at Chicago. You mentioned his Woodruff and Alec Mills. 4.67 ERA in the year, 125 innings, brutal strikeout rate. So you're going for wins here, not strikeouts. Got 14% K rate. You know, obviously with two starts, it helps a little bit. But last five starts, two earned runs, one earned run. Does he feel like he's pitching well to you or just due for eight earned runs at some point? I don't know which one it is.
Well, I picked him up, so it's probably the latter, but I'm hoping it's the former.
And did you pick him up in a main event or a 12-team?
Main event, the one main event team that's got a chance to cash.
Yeah, where I got outbid on him in the one main event, but that team's not very good. The one I really could have used him in, I just need any arms. The one that I mentioned had 14 innings. He was actually taken already, so that was a bummer. I wanted to bid on him.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's a little bit disparate now on who's available in each league.
Yeah. Because you got teams there's some teams that have just shut it down, and you know if they have someone on their roster that's fringy, just not dropping them because they're not making moves, and it really depends what team the guy's on.
Yeah, that's right. It really does matter about that, and you know it's okay. I'm trying to find strikeouts. I'm trying to catch the wins. In this league, it's all about wins, and I hate chasing wins. It's not fun at all.
It's not,
especially in the stretch run.
Yeah, especially when you mentioned the Darvish start, the Montas start today is like, it's just so frustrating. Like, yeah. I was glad the A's won, but that was so frustrating. Have him throw one hitter and just, oh, it was so bad. But the big name getting called up is actually not available in NFBC leagues, but obviously we talk about a lot of other leagues, and the available is Shane Baz in Tampa. Huge prospect. He came over in the Chris Archer trade, another windfall from that deal. 2.48 ERA in AA this year, 1.76 ERA in AAA this year. 36% strikeout rate, 46 innings in AAA, 6% walk rate. He had a 2.99 ERA in 81 innings in A ball in 2019. If Baz is available in your league, I mean, he's clear and far away the real and big upside that could do really well this week. I don't know how deep he's going to go, and it's the Rays, but like in terms of the best arm available, it's got to be him at the top.
Yeah, for sure. And it's just amazing that the Rays are where they are. You look at the rotation, and they wait until now to call up Baz. I mean, it's like, although I put claims in on Drew Rasmussen in places, I'm still finding him available in places, which just blows my mind that he was even available in some places and that I didn't notice it until now. Both of these things, it kind of blow me away a little bit there. I just wonder how their playoff rotation is going to set up. I have no idea.
I have no idea either. It's an interesting point. Like, they've thrown so many different guys out there, and they keep throwing Ryan Yarbrough out there, and he's had a horrible year, especially lately. He's been really bad.
Waka's terrible. I mean,
yeah, Waka will throw like a gem and then like three straight terrible outings. Like, there's just nothing consistent there. But I was looking at Baz's game logs, and like everybody's like, he's going to go short. But I mean, the last three games he threw five innings on August 28th. He threw five on September 3rd, and then six innings on September 11th. He had 10 strikeouts in that game. He feels like to me like he's stretched out to go five or six if they want to do it.
Yeah, could be. Could very well be. Yeah, it's just, you know, the Rays are going to be very strict about third time through the order, things like that.
Yeah, and if the pitch counts up a little bit, he could throw three and a third or four innings. But if you're looking for someone that can go out there and strike out eight and get through five and get you a win on a really good team, I mean, I think that he's far and away the best guy.
I mean, the only guys I see as sure things for the playoffs are McClanahan and Rasmussen. I'm not even sure Patino is a playoff starter.
Isn't that crazy that what you thought about 3 months ago, we wouldn't even – I mean, McClanahan was already up, but Rasmussen.
Yeah.
I don't know about Patino either. I mean, his game log is really ugly if you look. I think he's got
– Yeah, it's all over the place.
Five earned runs or more in like what – I got 4-2-4-1-2. I guess it hasn't been quite as bad as I thought, but, you know, he's gone over five innings twice in his last four starts. It's – I guess they're going to probably throw a lot of piggyback bullpen games out there, I suppose. I mean, Dietrich Enns this week pitched four innings and got a win and pitched well. But you're right. I don't know what they do in a playoff rotation. That's weird to say for a team that's so good.
Yeah. I mean, it's just they have so many relievers on the IL. It's amazing to me. You know, Colin McHugh has been awesome.
Yep.
They've gotten a lot of good work out of him. But we're talking a couple innings at a time. You know, you look at, David Robertson is now up with a big club. Remember him?
He pitched the Olympics, right?
Yeah, I think he did. I don't know.
I think he did.
Remember Adam Connolly? We looked at him as a closer for like 12 seconds at one point in time. I just, I don't know how they're going to do it, but they will. They'll find a way. They got Nick Anderson back now.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine you're going to see a lot of McHugh for two innings in key spots in games where they're, you know, up one, down one, need to kind of throw a couple innings in there. He's going to be an important part of their plans, I think.
Yeah. Andrew Kittredge has had a season.
He has. He's been very good. It's going to be fascinating to see how they piece it together because obviously playoffs are different, but you know, it obviously worked for them last year. They made it to the World Series. But you mentioned Eric Fetty earlier when we were talking about who the Reds are facing. He has two starts this week at Miami, at Cincy. The numbers overall are not good. 5.16 ERA in 122 innings. Strikeout rate's kind of middling, 22%. Not horrible, but not great. 8% walk rate. Hard hit rate's a little high at 40%. Pitched really well this week, though. He had five innings, eight strikeouts, and earned run against Miami. Swing strike rate's up a little bit, but still under 9%. He's kind of just a guy, but at Miami, I like that start. But I don't really like him going to the small park in Cincinnati. That could be a tough second one.
Yeah, but the Reds aren't hitting. I mean, Winker's out again. He was back for one game. He came back too quickly.
One game. That was brutal.
Well, he jumped in a car and said, "I don't need any more at bats. I need to go help this team," after the Thursday game. And there was no direct flight from Memphis, so they drove straight. And the guy that drove him back then resigned from the organization, along with, it's been just a hell of a week for the Reds, along with the driveline guy, Kyle Boddy, resigned from the Reds. And there's differences in a principle. Quietly, other people behind the scenes have left this team. So I don't know what's going on with this organization now.
You guys got a lot of drama going on there. It's like a high school or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they were going to cut them anyhow. Maybe they're going to emulate our A's and just fire a bunch of people. I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't really talk about other organizations when mine just fires people during COVID. So there's that.
Yeah.
Alex Cobb came back this week, pitched against the White Sox in Chicago. It was a good start. Five innings, two hits, two walks, no earned runs, five strikeouts. ERA's 3.6 overall this year in 82 innings. So he's had a really good year. K rate's up to 26%. Walk rate's 8%. He's pitched really well. I was really interested, and then I scrolled over and saw that he gets a one step against Houston this week, and I was like, that just kind of took the air out of that one.
Yeah, it'll do that, and you just know that bullpen's not going to support him either.
No, I mean, aside from Iglesias, there's not much going on there, but with two starts left and one of them's against Houston, if I'm going to do it, I'll look at him next week if he's still there, but I just can't throw him for one start against the Astros.
Right. Next week at Texas, that could be all right.
Definitely playable right there. So if you just have a spot and you want to throw him on there, that's fine too. But I just needed the spot. Did you do anything with Matt Manning this week? He has two starts a week. White Sox, the first one, a little scary, but then he does get Kansas City. He's been brutal. The ERA is 5.75. He has a 14% strikeout rate, but it's weird. You look at his minor league stuff. He had a 28% strikeout rate in 2019 in AA. And he's been pretty good in three of his last four starts. He got smoked by the A's in one of them. One of them, he went three innings, gave one run. The other two are over five innings, gave one run. He started against Milwaukee this week, six innings, one run, six strikeouts. So I don't know. If you squint a little bit, you needed some strikeouts. Detroit, you're probably going to get some wins. They have been going short with some starters, so I don't know if you're going to go full five or six innings. But he felt to me like at least maybe get some a few numbers out of him, maybe sneak a win out of it, but it's scary.
I couldn't do it. Just too much disaster lurking around the corner. Two of his last three starts against the White Sox. I mean, the White Sox might be benching everybody that final weekend. They've been doing it all month.
They have.
If you follow White Sox Twitter, they're kind of like angry because they've been treating it like spring training games this entire month because they can.
I mean, if it works, I think that you guys need a rest. I don't blame them for doing it. You just worry about maybe guys getting out of their routine, but I don't think they're going to be sitting them that much. But you're right. They've been Tim Anderson with his sore legs, you know, sat a bunch and then went on the IL. And now they even said they're going to play him two out of three games the rest of the way. So maybe you get lucky and you get the day where, him and Eloy sit or something like that. But I agree with you. I think that I grabbed Manning in some spots where like wins is the only thing that matters and you hope to get lucky to get through five innings. But, you know, you're going for Detroit. You're hoping they score early. You're hoping, you know, Jamer Candelaria hits a three on a bomb or something, you get a lead, but it's tough fishing for wins in the Tigers pool.
It really is.
Tyler Anderson pitches twice this week. Also, he's at the A's and at the Angels. So, you know, a workable two-step there, both in locales against and teams he's facing. 4.14 ERA in 152 innings. He's been pretty serviceable, pretty decent this year. 90% strikeout rate, not going to get a lot of strikeouts out of him, but he doesn't walk a lot of guys. didn't make it past five innings his last two starts. I don't know if Seattle's trying to limit him a little bit or they're just kind of going a quick hook. That worried me a little bit. I kind of pulled back off that based on his last couple outings being really short.
It was against Houston and Boston. So maybe not. In fact, he had, if I recall correctly, he had the longest streak in baseball of five innings plus.
Sounds about right. Cause he's been really consistent. Just kind of giving you five innings every start.
Yeah. And every other start this year has been at least five innings.
That's pretty impressive though.
Including that thrashing against the Braves, where it was like throwing the damn, stop the damn fight already sort of start against the Braves. If you remember that one, they just left him in and left him in. You're like, oh, come on, leave it, get him out of there. Prior to these last two starts, the last time he hadn't gone at least five innings in an outing was against Seattle in September last year. Wow. So there you go.
That Braves start, 9 earned runs, 10 hits. Ooh, I think I probably had that one in too. I have him on one of my teams.
Definitely had him in one or two teams.
I'm sure I ate those 9 earned runs. I remember feeling that one pretty good.
Yeah, he. I had him, and I had, who's the other pirate that was left? I had a couple of. He's not in there anymore. How quickly I forget.
Will Crow?
No, he was good. Someone was good earlier in the season.
Chad Cool?
No.
I thought I had it right there.
I know. This is embarrassing. I don't even know who I had on my own team. Did they send him down? Brubaker. JT Brubaker.
He was really good early, and then he ate a bunch in a row. It got really rough for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. I had him, and I didn't eat all those, but you know, I had my share of those too.
The odds were about 400-1 that Chad Cool will come up on the podcast tonight, by the way. That's a big win for anybody that bet that prop.
Yeah. Good. Congratulations.
Any other starters you remotely looked at? I mean, I was digging the depth here to come up with guys to talk about and to pick up this week. Was there anybody else? I mean, Corey Kluber's available in some leagues. I think he was an easy bid based on how well he pitched this week. So I was definitely going after him there. Was there anybody else that you were really looking at this week?
Merrill Kelly has a two-step this week, and he was available in one of my 15s. Aaron Ashby is a name that he's not always a starter, but he's picking up a decent number of innings, and he's pitching really well. James and Clay are really high on him. If you recall, Ashby had that horrendous debut against the Cubs, where they actually came back, the Brewers actually came back and won the game. Since then, he's been nothing but great. And, of course, it's the Brewers, and they know how to develop.
And he actually had a save last week, I think, too. He had one of those like three inning long saves. Yeah, so he's been really good. Last three outings, 8 innings, no earned runs, 4 hits, and 11 strikeouts. Pretty solid.
Yep.
It's just if you need wins or something, it's hard to like hope that he times it out perfectly where he comes in after an opener or you know in the middle of a game if they go short with someone like Peralta or something like that. It's hard to time, but if you get it right, he's been a good arm.
But it's the right team to do it because they do it all the time with their pitchers. I mean, there's a reason why they've gotten a lot of mileage off of like Eric Lauer, who's now in the rotation, actually pitching well right now too.
Yep. Brent Suter has like 10 wins or something like
12, that. 12 wins, I believe it is. At least the last time I checked, it was 12. It might even be more now. But point remains.
It is still 12.
Yeah, it's been a while since he's gotten one too.
But 12 wins. I mean, there's a whole lot of starters that don't have 12 wins. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. Mid-August is when he got his last win.
So what about relievers this week? I think the first guy that everybody went to, Tyler Rogers in San Francisco, although he pitched the 8th inning in front of, I think it was Dominic Leone. Of course he did, right? And he came in for the save on Friday night and gave up 3 runs. And he gave up a 3-run homer to someone on the Braves. I forget who it was these days. But it was after Jake
McGee. It was Darno hit it.
That's right. I had Rogers and Will Smith again. They blew saves back to back. It was just a fun adventure there.
Yeah, but
Rogers has been really good. Rogers has an ERA under 2 and 7. He's pitched 73 innings. He's one of those guys that goes out there every day. It feels like only a 17% strikeout rate, but doesn't walk anybody, which you know really nice. You gotta get 2 or 3 hits off him to score a run. Isn't not going to put guys on there for free. I tend to think they'll kind of mix and match him. They seem like they don't really want to throw him in the 9th, but they will if they need to. But if I had to bet on someone to get the most saves the last 2 weeks, I think it'd be Rogers, but I wouldn't bet a lot on it.
The thing about Rogers is, you know, he's got that delivery and, you know, teams are going to want to stack lefties against him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think it's really played out that way that he's, I got to double check on his splits. If I remember earlier this year, he actually had a pretty good reverse split. but I think in previous years he had not.
He still does. He got a 200 average against lefties and a 273 OBP, 356 slug. I mean, he's been pretty good. But yeah, I mean, with the delivery, I think I still stack lefties against him if I'm an opposing manager.
But this year, it's counterfactual for each of the last 3 years. This year, 136 against lefties batting average. Lefties have a 136 batting average against them. Righties 301. It's stark. It's not even close.
It's pretty wild when you think about that delivery. You would not think that was the case. It's like when you watch someone like Sergio Romo, who's like all the sliders over and over, like he just can't get lefties out. It's just too hard because everything breaks right into their power spot. And I know that I wonder if Rodgers has developed that changeup, which you can kind of dive away from lefties a little bit. The pitch that is really effective for a guy with that delivery.
Yeah, that's right.
Chris Stratton is a guy that's been closing for Pittsburgh. David Bednar went on the IL finally with his injury. Stratton has thrown a lot of innings too. 73 innings, 3.68 ERA. One of those guys that we talk about. K rate and everything's gone up since they moved to the bullpen. He's like a 26% K rate this percentage this year. He's got the ninth right now. I don't think they have no reason to rush Bednar back. He's available in the league and you need saves. I think he's a good shot to go after, although who knows how many games Pittsburgh wins down the stretch. There's always that.
They get the Reds this week, so it's a good chance.
Oh, I kind of teed you up for that one, didn't I?
Yeah, that's okay.
Speaking of the Reds, Michael Lorenzen bidding out there at all for you? Interested there at all?
No, it's just because Gibbons had pitched the two previous nights. Okay. That's why he got the save.
I saw he got the save, but it's just, I mean, it seems like it's pretty much mostly Gibbons.
But, you know, it's David Bell, so he doesn't commit to any one particular guy, but we belabored that point, I think, 37 times this season. Probably. But, I think it's Gibbons first, occasional Lorenzen. That's it. That's about it.
Fair enough. Let's get to some get some fab hitters this week. It was slim pickings. But first, a note from our sponsor, Vivid Seats. The summer is coming to an end, which means only 1 month until postseason baseball. Only 2 weeks until postseason baseball. Now, there's no better place than Vivid Seats to watch your team race towards the postseason. So grab your MLB tickets, maybe even a stadium hot dog or two, and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Even better, they have a rewards program designed to provide real rewards for real fans. Earn rewards, ticket upgrades, and perks just for shopping. If you're looking for tickets to the game, see your favorite performer, or that new show everyone's talking about, Vivid Seats has it all. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, it's time to experience it live. Jeff, I thought hitters were tough this week. Nico Hoerner is back for the Cubs. He came back, I think, today. He was only 33% owned in the NFBC, 15-teamers. I was kind of just using that as a gauge. Seems like someone who should at least play a bunch down the stretch.
Yeah, I think so. If the Cubs know what they're doing, they should play him. Yeah, I think that's. Although you almost wonder, given the nature of his injury, they may try to like two on, one off, something like that. The rest of the way, we'll see. They may give him a couple of days off here and there. But I'm intrigued with him. If he's available, I would be interested in buying and bidding on him.
He hasn't hit a homer since 2019.
Okay, man, that's a fine rebuttal.
I just realized that I wanted to pick up. I think he's a batting average guy. He's hit .313 this year. He's hit some good average in the past, and I was just surprised he hasn't homered since 2019.
Yeah, neither of you. I'm not bidding on you either, so that's okay. No, although maybe you have in your softball team. I don't know. I may not be. You're a better outfielder than Jeff McNeil, but
this is true. This is true. I'm usually more of a right center kind of line drive hitter, but every once in a while, if we're up or down a bunch and I get a little excited, I'll try and hit one out, but not my specialty.
Right.
Yeah. I like to get on base, you know. I'm more of a team guy, Jeff. I'm not the selfish player.
Sometimes you need to be a little selfish.
Yeah, that's true. What about that in Miami? Lewin Diaz is playing a bunch of first base for them. That's a guy that has 20 home runs in AAA this year. Got some pop. He has not been hitting for average so far. Miami been playing every day. Homer today. Yep. Has 6 home runs and 78 plate appearances. It feels like a guy to me that if you need some pop, he's going to play every day down the stretch of his final 2 weeks.
Yeah, Aguiar is out, so he's getting that run of playing time. And Marlins may have to make a decision on Aguiar this offseason, so they also need to decide on Diaz.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that anybody shows some pop and hitting, playing every day is kind of – That's what we're looking for right now. He had a two, I think he had two homer game on the earlier this week against the Nationals, then homer today. If you're, we're all about category management these days. If you need home runs, I think that Diaz is a nice piece to try and hope maybe he hits two or three here down the stretch.
Yeah.
And guys, we talked about last week, Lane Thomas is still only 55% owned in the NFBC 12 team leagues. Brad Miller, only 12% owned. I think those are both guys that are very usable. I think we mentioned the Phillies have seven or eight games a week. They have a really good schedule. I think they face, they face five righties, if I'm doing the math right. I forget exactly how many it is, but I knew that I looked at it and I thought that I thought Miller was pretty playable. Yeah, they have seven games. They face Baltimore and Pittsburgh. Like, that's a really good setup we talked about earlier. And Lane Thomas, you know, leading off every day for the Nationals, homer, not a three-run homer. It was either Friday night or Saturday night. Just guys that are playing every day. I think that's what you're looking for down the stretch.
Yeah, that's right. And it's you'll be surprised where you can find it. I think that's one of the things too, is just and of course the teams are, you know, that aren't in it right now, it's harder to stay on top of them. Again, we talked about everything that's going on right now. And it's really hard to stay on top of it. But if you do, there's some dividends that pay off.
Yeah. And some of those teams are kind of mixing and matching and playing a bunch of guys. But you look at the Nationals and Lane Thomas leads off every single day. It's just just kind of slotted him up at the top of the lineup and they're just kind of go with it. So where you get some stuff that moves around a lot, but you get some guys that just kind of happens.
Yeah. Brad Johnson really, really, really wants us to give us some love to Yoshi Tsutsugo. So here you go. Tsutsugo is going to wreck the Reds this week because that's what he did before. Was not in the lineup today. Part of the problem for him is he is not playing every day. It's one of the reasons why although I'm looking at his game log and he's playing a lot more than he was earlier. It seemed like for a while it was one on, one off, but he got like five out of six.
When he does, he hits second or hits cleanup, and that's nice right there. At least, you know, you get right behind Cabrian Hayes and you get some guys on base, and Brian Reynolds can drive him in. At least he's in the right part of the Pirates lineup, which is there aren't many good spots for it, but he when he does play, he's right there.
Yeah, he is. He is. I mean, but it does. I mean, the point holds about pay attention to these teams. I mean, how many league winners are going to have like Frank Schwindel on their lineup or Patrick Wisdom?
Yeah. Patrick Wisdom has 26 home runs.
It's amazing. The one he hit today was just.
Oh, he hit one today. There might be 27.
I think it's 27 now. Yeah. It was just an utter shot. Like, it went up to the batter's eye and it stayed up there after it landed. I mean, it was just crazy how well he hit that. Oh yeah. He did hit number 27 today. 30-year-old rookie, did strike out four times, but then he hit his monster home run.
That's only 3.5 times more home runs than Christian Yelich has this year.
Oh, no bitterness whatsoever.
But pretty wild when you think about it in those terms, right? Christian Yelich still has 8 home runs, by the way. Yeah. 8, Jeff. 8.
8. 8. 8, Scott.
He has 433 plate appearances. It's not like he's played 20 games. He has 8 home runs.
What are you going to do with him next year?
I was about to ask you that question, Kyle. I have no idea. Like, it's just, I mean, this is two years in a row now. I mean, this is, he was terrible last year, and I gave him a pass. You didn't. You were right about that. You played in 2020, and you factored in, and I didn't. And I was wrong. It's not as bad as 2020 with the strikeout rate, but it's definitely way above where he was in the past. I mean, I don't know. You look at all his stuff, and he's still hitting the ball hard, but he's hitting hard hit rate, but not a lot of barrels. 8 home runs. I mean, his fly ball rate has got to be down. He has 24% right now. He's just not hitting the ball in the air, and hard to hit home runs when you don't hit fly balls.
When he was coming up with the Marlins, that was a critique of his, you know, that he hit the ball on the ground too much. He wasn't Hosmer-esque, but he's approaching that category now.
Yeah, he had 3 years with the Marlins. His first 3 years, he was under 18% fly ball, and then he got up to kind of mid-20s. In his big 2019, he was 36%, and it's gone down. He's 24%. I don't know. I mean, the talent's there. He could figure it out and find a way, but what does he go? Is he going the fourth round next year in a 15 teamer? Is it even that high? It probably has
not for me. Right? It's not,
but someone will take him in the top 60, right?
I mean, I'm saying not for me. I will not take him. I don't think it is too high for me, is what I'm implying.
His ADP will be lower than 60, right? I mean, lower a smaller number than 60.
Could be, hard to predict group behavior, but. You know, anybody that had him this year, are you going to double and triple down on him?
It's going to be really hard for me to click or say his name publicly. It's back to back years now. If it was 1 year, I could probably do it, But it's been, you're looking at, that's now we're looking at, what is that? That's doing the math real quick. Almost 700 plate appearances.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It is.
And I don't know if I mentioned, but he has 8 home runs.
How many?
Speaking of pick guys to pick up, Keibert Ruiz in Washington. We talked to him a few weeks ago when he got called up. Starting to come along a little bit. He has 3 hits in his last couple, each of his last couple games. Playing a bunch. I think if you need a catcher, he was clearly the guy this week. He's only 19% owned in the NFBC 12. He's 65% in the main events. But if you need a second catcher, I think he's better than most of the second catchers out there right now.
And he's playing.
Yeah.
Period.
They clearly want to see what they have, and they traded for him. And I think that it just he's one of those. He's just the guy that I think if you have a second catcher, unless you have a really good one, I think he's a really good bid right now.
Yeah. The only thing is, like, Alex Avila announced that he's going to retire at the end of the year. They might do some sort of, like, let him play a little bit more in the last 2 weeks sort of thing. I don't know.
Alex Avila didn't retire in 2016.
Yeah, exactly.
I was shocked to see he's still around, by the way. That's – he had a couple good years in there. He was fantasy viable for a couple years in there.
Yeah. I mean, they have a three-headed monster behind the plate right now. They have Riley Adams too. And he's young and they want to see him. At least you think they would want to see him a little bit more. They got rid of Trez. I haven't watched enough Nationals games lately to properly know that pronunciation.
Not a lot to watch. Once Lane Thomas's bats go by, I tend to switch channels.
Juan Soto gets walked. Okay, then we move on.
Exactly right. You know the walk is coming there. Let's see. Andy Ibañez in Texas was injured. He came back. He's been hitting. It's a guy that we talked about a few weeks ago, talking about picking him up, and then he got hurt. But hitting 261 so far, 6 home runs and 220 plate appearances. Not really anything excited to be about. He's a big batting average guy. Though. The minors, he hit 300 in AAA in 2019 over a lot of games. Then he hit 342 in AAA earlier this year. So I think if you need batting average, don't need steals, obviously, maybe a little pop. I think Ibañez kind of fits nicely.
Yeah, he could. A little bit of pop. He isn't going to run at all. And yeah, the multiple positions are nice.
We talked about schedules earlier. Cleveland has a really good one. Did that make you interested at all in Bobby Bradley now that he's back playing at least most every day against righties?
Sure. Sure. Where he is available and where I had a spot for him. Yeah. Why not?
Man, just you have to be okay with him hitting .180 because that's definitely in play. But a guy that's shown a ton of pop in the minors, shown a little bit of pop this year. He has 13 home runs. Again, we're about category management right now. If you need pop, I think that Bradley works well considering they play 9 games this week.
Yeah. They're a weird team, the Cleveland is. You know, lose 8-0 on Friday night.
And they killed Garrett Cole today.
Yeah. Nice selling for your Cy Young campaign there. Just getting murdered by Cleveland there.
I think Robbie Ray probably won the Cy Young today, right?
Could very well have. Yeah. That's for sure.
It's a big start against a not very good team, and he just got thrashed. I mean, that was – they needed a win today. They needed it badly. And I think they're a game and a half behind Toronto now. And that was a big spot for him to get bombed.
Yeah, absolutely was.
Talk about some injuries. You mentioned Jesse Winker back on the IL for his intercostal strain. Is he done for the rest of the way, I assume?
I'm not optimistic.
Yeah.
And it takes out such a big element in this offense. It does. Even with his struggles against lefties, he wasn't going to do much against lefties, but you know, they killed righties earlier. They're not killing anybody right now. And you take away them. He's such a great on-base guy. Really set that lineup well when they could go India, then go Winker, Castellanos, you know, just right, left, right, left. And Votto right after that. And it just set everything up so well. And now they just don't have that. And no one's carrying this Reds team either. But enough Reds therapy.
Hyunjin Ryu will go with some my team therapy. Got smoked and then went on the aisle with a neck strain. Expected to miss one start.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to do with him because I think that if they're in it, he's going to pitch next week. And he kind of lines up for 2 starts next week. But, God, I don't know if I could throw that. He's at New York and Baltimore next week. He's just been so bad for like about 6 to 8 weeks. It's been – I don't know if I could throw him. I held on to him because I just had a spot there. But I don't know if I could stomach throwing him next week.
Tough. You know, it's weird that the team is on fire, but he's not.
It's funny because it's him and Springer. Springer's been awful in September. I think he's at like 135 or one. I mean, he's not healthy, so it's hard to blame him. And he's gutted out for them. But if you told me that Toronto was this hot and Ryu was getting smoked and Springer was not getting any hits, I would have thought that was crazy.
Yeah, and it's a shame because before his latest injury, Springer was actually hitting pretty well.
He was having an awesome year. I mean, it's been off with the IL, but when he's been playing, he's been awesome. And then this last stretch, he's just so banged up. But you can tell he can't drive with his legs at all.
So what do you do with Springer next year?
I draft him.
Where? How early?
Good question.
Because you're not going to get any speed out of him.
You're not getting speed. The speed that never really materialized. He has one double-digit season of steals ever.
Got caught too many times, yeah.
He just did. You're right. And then Houston kind of shut him down. If I can get Springer in the middle of the fourth round, I'd be really loving that.
That's kind of where he went this year.
I thought he felt like he moved up a little bit, but you're probably right. I was thinking he went his third round, but you're probably right. It was probably more fourth. Maybe a little bit later then. I think that the injuries have to factor in a little bit there, but I think he just needs an off season. It felt like he never really got healthy this year.
Yeah. I need to test my assertion on that, by the way. And the good news is it's available. That's one thing I love about the NFBC ADP is, hey, where was he going in the main? That'll tell us, you know, his injury that wasn't so serious, you know, it ended up being really serious.
It's ADP in the main event. You are right. Oh, no, we're off. He was actually – oh, I think there was
– pick 63 with a range of 41 to 102. Didn't he get hurt like the last week?
He got hurt right last week. So his price went way down those last few drafts. I think he was more in the late third, early fourth range. But you're right. He did get hurt. I'm trying to look at when I drafted. This is a late one, so it won't work very well, but – yeah, it's a little skewed by the injuries there.
Yeah, how about his teammate Kevin Biggio? Is this even gonna have a job?
I was trying to figure out. Like I was gonna say, does he have a position that he fills right now? I don't know. I mean, it was an awful year.
All the doubters can take that victory lap on him. Yeah. Even before the injury, he was terrible.
I think he starts in AAA next year.
Yeah, boy did his profile just fall through the floor.
It really did. Is Bo Bichette a top 10, top 6 pick next year?
I think he might be. I don't know if I'm taking it, but
I think I'm looking at ADP, figuring out the latest I can get him and try and get him. I think the profile is beautiful on Bichette. I think he's just a star and just getting better.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. By the way, so While we were talking, I was looking on Springer. So he had like abdominal tightness. And that was like on March 9th was the first time he had that.
Okay.
And then there was like a period of like 10 days where it's just radio silence. And then, grade 2 left oblique strain on March 23rd, they report. And then, you know, feeling better without a timetable. But it went from, some tightness to grade 2 strain. You're like, they knew about this all along. They just didn't report. They just didn't tell us. That's the thing that's so frustrating about spring training.
For sure there. I'm looking at his where he went in my TGFBI league, because that was like before all the injury stuff came out, and he was a early fourth round pick there.
Okay.
So you had the price right.
I mean, I got to factor that in a little bit with him.
It has to. I think my mid fourth is a little early. I think he's probably an early five guy. Probably
he might go there if he's healthy in spring training, but I won't be paying that price.
I mean, and hitting the top of that lineup is pretty darn prime time too.
It is. It really is. But
that's a lot of lingering leg issues that just didn't go away all year long.
Right. And I mean, all you have to do is look at previous seasons. He missed like 9 games last year out of 60, so 15% of the season. 122 in 2019, 140, 140. He 140 is not bad, but it's not great either. It's still 22 games he's missing. You know, 2016 he had a full season. God, we're going back to 2016. Yep. That's a long time ago.
And this year is going to be what, 70?
If that.
As long as he stays in these next couple of weeks, I think he's got him. So maybe 75, but yeah, you're right. They could shut him down at any point.
Yeah.
Let's see. Jake McGee, we mentioned when the IL with an oblique strain, I dropped him. I just don't think it's worth holding on a closer for maybe, 4 or 5 days at the end of the year. Kyle Tucker is a big note. He left early today with some right shoulder discomfort. And this matters because not only has Tucker been awesome, but the Astros have no reason to push him this week.
Correct. You know, quietly, Tucker's missed a lot of games this year.
Yes.
He had a lot of that. Some of that was COVID, but some other stuff was, you know, he's had other various injuries here and there. And of course, discomfort. Like, it seems like this is something that's probably lingered. He's been playing through for a while. It's not, you know, when it's reported like shoulder discomfort, you're like, okay, well, how long has he been dealing with it? Was there an injury today? I don't know. But then again, you look at what he did earlier this week and he was crushing it. So yeah, he's a good player.
He really is. But I mean, they have a 6-game lead on the A's. I don't think they're worried about that. They do play 4 games this weekend against each other. 3. They play, A's play 4 against Seattle and 3 against Houston. But they certainly
are. It's a huge week for our A's.
It is 4 Seattle, 3 Houston. We'll know it. We'll know at the end of the week if the last week matters or not. We'll put it that way.
They're only 2 games out of the wild card.
Yeah, I mean, that they got a team in between there, which is tough. But yeah, they've won 5 in a row somehow. I don't really know how, but it doesn't feel like it. But they have. But you're right. This week is 7 home games. We'll know at the end of this week if they have a chance at all.
That's a lot of self hate there, I gotta say. I mean,
been a really frustrating 4 weeks though. They've given away like 7 or 8 games.
Yeah, ask Yankee fans how frustrated they are, though. They're a game and a half out of the wild card and just got crushed 2 games in a row by Cleveland.
And after that hot streak, it looked like they were just going to cruise to that wild card and kind of put some distance away, and they've done the opposite.
And meanwhile, Boston, who has had like 37,000 players go on the COVID IL, has won 5 in a row. They're the first wild card right now.
Quietly rebounded, but it looked like they were kind of dying, and then they've had a nice little bounce back. Getting Chris Sale back has been big for them, too.
Yeah, that is huge. Chris Sale, is he going in the second round next year in the main?
Yeah, I say mid to late second, probably maybe push up a little bit the last couple of drafts. But yeah, mid second, probably ADP at the end.
Are you taking him as one? Are you one of the people taking him?
Probably not.
I might. I'm kind of open to the possibility. If I'm drafting there and I'm getting a hitter in the first round.
Pitching is going to be fascinating next year because there's a whole bunch of like new names in the mix. Like,
yeah.
Corbin Burns is definitely a first rounder. Is Brandon Woodruff like a 1-2 turn kind of guy too?
Some people are treating him as such this year. So yes.
Yeah. I think he definitely moves up a little bit, probably like 13 to 16 right in there. Burns is definitely first round. I mean, DeGrom is such a huge question mark. I have no idea. I mean, it'll depend on how he looks in the spring, but like that could be, he could be anywhere next year. Who knows?
And who knows for Gerrit Cole for that matter? I mean, disaster lurks with him too sometimes. His overall numbers are fine. They're great. But it's been agonizing if you have him when he's had these disaster starts.
First pitcher off the board?
Probably, but...
Not counting Otani, obviously, because he'll be drafted as a hitter. But
right.
I still think Cole's probably the number one ADP pitcher next year.
Probably so. How do you feel about that?
I think in March I'll feel pretty good about it because I'll look back at his season as a whole rather than kind of looking at these blowups. I mean, the ERA is still 3.03. Still got, 231 strikeouts.
What if Max Scherzer signs a 3-year deal with the Dodgers?
It's so hard because he's been – I mean, what's he – is it 37 straight scoreless innings? He's been so unbelievably good. But he's still, what, it's going to be 37 next year? I don't know how much that factors into whether I'm willing to do it. I mean, I took him in the second round this year, so I was fine doing it this year, and I'm glad I did. But, yeah, he's been awesome.
Yeah, I might be there for that.
You throw him in a 1-game playoff over Buehler right now, yes?
Barely, but yes. I mean, yeah, they're 1-1A. I mean, it's crazy that, you know that how important that trade was. Not just to the Dodgers. But to him,
San Diego too,
and the Padres. Yes, yep. Exactly. The big part of that was the Padres because, you know, by the time that trade happened, there were no other elite starters available. Nope. The Padres missed their window on that, and they are just dying for innings.
They threw Vince Velasquez and Jake Arrieta this weekend.
Yes, exactly.
That is as bad as it gets, right there.
You get what you get, and you don't get upset when those two are your starters.
And we talk about Buehler and Scherzer, but I know win loss doesn't matter everything. But Julio Arias is an ERA under 3, and he's 18-3 this year.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean, that's pretty damn good.
And now they got Kershaw back, who got 20 whiffs today against the Reds.
Yeah, it's that, I mean, talk about setting up well for a playoff series. The problem is if they don't win the division, are they tied with the division now? I think they tied the Giants today.
I think they're a game out.
You're right. They did gain a game today though, but game out. If they're in a one game playoff, one of those teams is going to win 103 games and be in the wild card.
Yeah, and they're going to lose to Cardinal Devil Magic, and it's going to be
against a team that has 85 wins.
Yeah, and it's just going to drive everyone to hell. Interesting week for the Dodgers. They're on this big road trip. They took 2 out of 3 from the Reds. They get tomorrow off, Coors Field, and then Arizona. I think Charlie Steiner was saying on their broadcast the other day, 3 time zones for this trip. Now, that's a lot of miles. Coors Field is what it is. Urias Bueller Scherzer in Coors Field. So that could good luck there. Tony Gonsolin's back in the rotation this week.
He got smoked today too.
Yeah, he pitched really well.
He started earlier this week, threw 5 innings, really efficient, and he got smoked today after Kershaw left.
Yeah, I mean, there'll be some people interested in him still, though. You get an Arizona start.
Yeah.
And then next week it's kind of interesting. They get San Diego. Yep. It'll be massive for it's huge. It's probably actually huge for the Dodgers too, because really it's so important to win that division.
Oh, it's mad. I mean, if you just want to avoid that one game playoff no matter what. But yeah, they get Milwaukee on the last weekend, and I don't think Milwaukee's gonna be lining up players and figuring out the rotation. I don't think they're gonna really care about that series that much.
Well, because they're locked in as the 2 seed.
Yeah,
just absolutely locked in.
So they don't have to play the Dodgers the first round, so they don't really care either way. But I'm sure if you could ask them, they prefer the Dodgers play the one game playoff for the chance to knock them out. But you're not going to impact your rotation or your players to do so.
No, they're going to set everything up for the playoffs there. Yeah. That's absolutely right.
Smart. Let's see. We mentioned those. Tyler Naquin, kind of under the radar for your Reds. Unlikely to return this year with his rib injury. I picked him up a few weeks ago. He's actually been really good for me. I've been starting in the outfield in the 15-teamer, and he's obviously a drop now. We mentioned the Dodgers. Cody Bellinger has apparently a rib fracture now that he's going to try and play through. Like, talking about lost seasons, I don't even know. Like, do you want him? A, do you want him out there healthy? B, do you want him out there with a rib fracture? I know he wants to play through it, but the Dodgers even want him out there? I don't know.
Cody Bellinger got swallowed by a whale. Wants to play through it, though.
Right. You wouldn't be surprised if you read that tomorrow, right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Chris Bassett could be activated to start on Thursday. He certainly sounds like he's kind of ready to go in his mind. I think he's, he talks the game well. I don't know how many innings he'd be able to go, but he's going to try and give it a go for the A's, make a couple starts down the stretch here. Other than that, there's a couple of games I want to ask you about before we get out of here. Some players that broke out in 2021, kind of thinking of the prices on 2022.
Okay.
But first, a note from our sponsor, Yahoo DFS. The new NFL season is finally here, and Yahoo's excited to kick off daily fantasy football. There will be a ton of big prize contests throughout the season on Yahoo, including their multi-entry contest now being shark-free. To celebrate the opening of Yahoo Daily Fantasy Football and becoming shark-free, Yahoo is giving all users the opportunity to claim a free $10 in contest entry credit. Users can take advantage of the free $10 contest entry credit offer to join one of Yahoo's biggest contests, including the $1 million Baller Contest. $1 million Baller Contest features $1 million in total prizes, including first place receiving $100,000, and entry in the first ever Yahoo Fantasy Football Live Finals event, which will occur at MGM National Harbor in Maryland this December. Play daily fantasy football on Yahoo this season. Visit sports.yahoo.com/dailyfantasy/welcome to claim the free $10 offer to get started. So, Jeff, we were talking a little bit about thinking about next year a little bit. I want to ask you about a couple of guys that had big breakouts here, kind of thinking where they'll go next year if you're interested in them. First guy I want to talk about, I mentioned a little bit earlier, is Shohei Ohtani. His ADP in the main event this year was 137. Obviously, that's going to skyrocket a little bit. 44 home runs, 93 runs, 94 RBIs, 23 stolen bases. Does have 9 caught stealing. 123 innings pitched, 3.28 ERA, 146 strikeouts. Obviously, the NFBC, which we're talking about, you have to declare at the start of the week if he's going to be a hitter for you, a pitcher for you, so you don't get both stats, obviously. Insane hard hit rate, 53%, 22% barrel rate. All this is very supported by all his metrics. The K rate is the one thing. It's up to 31%. He has struggled a lot in the second half. How high do you think he's going next year? What is his ADP? Is it a top 5? Is it a top 10? What do you think?
I think it's top 5, and I think it's too soon. I don't mean to be a hater, but you don't get both. You just don't. You have to choose every week. And there's gonna be at least one week where you probably choose wrong. Yep. Certainly, if you use them as a
as a pitcher, there's definitely going to be a way you choose wrong. And there's the opportunity cost of what he does at the plate.
And I think the key for him is, like, I just don't think we thought he was going to start this many games as a hitter. I think we thought he would take a couple of days off here, especially around his starts. And he's probably hasn't done that very much. He's played a ton. The second half worries me a little bit. And when you're talking top five guys, you have to nitpick a little bit. The second half worries me a little bit. The strikeouts worry me a little bit. But, I mean, the dude has been awesome. I just I don't think I could do it top five either.
Yeah, I have a hard time doing that. So, yeah, if it's top 10, back half of the top 10. Like, I'm taking Mookie Betts over Shohei Ohtani. How about that?
Oh, okay. Well, you're definitely not getting Ohtani then.
Yeah.
Because I think Betts is going to be like an end of the first round guy.
Maybe. I bet you he's one of those guys that'll get, you know, he'll creep upward. Yeah. I mean, the pitcher helium is the only reason why he might not be, why he might not creep up. But he should, put it this way, he should be someone that goes in the top 10, I think. You're still talking about it. He had all sorts of nagging injuries this year. He's still such an amazing player. I got to run the numbers again, but I got to think that I'm going to have him.
If I can get him near the turn, I might KDS near the turn just to take advantage of that.
Yeah. Well, now you're going to have to KDS to 12 or 13.
Or not. We have to play different leagues.
Yeah. And you
luck
know what?
Luck of the draw there.
I'm not talking me. I'm talking about the, you know, first of all, you are the star of this show. All the NFBC listens to hear what Scott says, what Oak says. I'm just here as the pun guy, the jester. No, you don't have to worry about me taking it. But when you say you're going to do that, now you have to pull yourself up to 11. But you know what? You like picking in the middle anyhow. You're not going to get
it. I do like picking in the middle. On Ohtani, what do you think he's been like 85% of the time people use him as a hitter? Is that too low? Maybe even higher? Because, I mean, he's been so good as a hitter. I feel like everybody's using him on offense all year because you just don't want to miss the three home runs and a steal in the week. I feel like it's probably 85 to 90% of the time he's been used as a hitter.
I mean, look at how many times he's been scratched from a start.
Yeah.
I mean, you almost have to. But then again, I mean, look how important it is, how important it is to get wins and Ks right now, too.
Yeah, he's got a 3.3 ERA in 123 innings. I mean, if you timed it well, you know, you could throw him as a starter. But like every time I did that, I had him on one team that I shared with some guys, and every time we were like, oh, we can't miss the three home runs and the two stolen bases. He's kind of always ended up using them in the utility spot.
Yeah, that's true.
So what about Sal Perez? Sal Perez, you talk about people tuning in for me. I missed on Sal Perez fully. I had him as a fade this year. I had the batting average be a problem. I thought the power kind of peaked. Obviously, I missed hugely on this one. I just didn't like the price more than anything. He was the second catcher off the board after JT Realmuto. 45 home runs, 113 RBIs. He's clearly made me look bad. The hard hit rate's crazy. It's 56% right now. He was a high 30s guy in 2016, 2017, high 40s in 2018, 2020. He didn't play in 2019. He was injured. Career high K rate, but it's still 25%, still a number that we can deal with. The BABIP's only 299, so it's not like he's gotten really lucky there. He had a lot of BABIP luck last year. He was like 375 BABIP. Barrel rate 16%. Like, the dude is just mashing. It's a full crazy year how good he's been.
It is. And it's, oh yeah, he's not going to repeat last year. No, he's going to be way better than last year.
Sorry, ADP, ADP was 89 in the main event. So that's the end of the sixth round. So the 6-7 turn. I'm guessing we're looking at a 3-4 turn next year, something like that.
Probably sooner.
Okay.
I don't know. I would say early to mid third.
I have a hard time taking a catcher in the earlier to mid third.
Yeah, and I do too. I just think that someone's going to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a massive advantage if you have that position. It's Travis Kelce-esque.
Yes. For some reason, I thought you said Travis Hafner, and I was like, I don't think of advantage when I think of Travis Hafner, but I realized you went different sport on me really quickly.
Yes, I did. Yes. Every once in a while, I got to do that. But, you know, just such a head and shoulders above the rest of the league at his position.
I mean, you get 45-113 at your catcher when everybody's getting like 200 average with 18 home runs and 55 RBIs. I mean, it's just, you're like you said, it's massive.
Yeah. Maybe it won't last forever, but I think it lasts at least a couple of years.
I think I always think he's way older than he is too. I think he's 31, something like that, which he moves older. He looks older. He's been around a long time. He's been playing since 2011. So he's been around forever, but yeah, he's 31. He's born in 1990. That seems impossible to me.
It does. It really does.
He kind of in the same vein, a guy who stepped up huge, Matt Olson. Hitting, we talked about him a bunch. So we talked about the A's, but 36 home runs, 103 RBIs, 278. The biggest change in his profile is the strikeout rate. He was 25% in 2019, 31% in 2020. He was awful last year, and he got super mental and was pressing. 16% strikeout rate this year. I mean, it's a and it's in an era when everybody's striking out a lot. He cut his strikeout rate in half. Swinging strike rates dropped to 10%, so he's kind of that supported it there. Walk rate still good at 12%. He's swinging more often, getting good pitches to hit. His zone contact's up 11%. His contact on pitches outside the strike zone is up 13%. He's swinging about 5% more of the time. He clearly changed his approach and it's clearly worked. His ADP was 91. I think he's probably no speed, so that's going to hurt him, but probably a mid third round guy next year. You think that's about right?
Yeah. I mean, the position's pretty weak.
Yeah.
You know, obviously Vlad's awesome. Freeman's awesome. Goldschmidt is back to being very good again. By the way, Paul Goldschmidt, appreciation time. 12 stolen bases this year.
Yeah.
87-90. He's one of the guys fueling this big run for the Cardinals.
Yeah, I was going to say his last like 2 months has been really good. He's really turned it on.
Yeah. First base hasn't been as dire as people made it out to be, but it's still not as deep as it used to be either.
Do you want Matt Olson or Max Muncy? Because they're very, very similar.
They are. Muncy's had a bad second half too. Probably Olson, but get back with me this winter.
It's close though, right?
It is. And Abreu, you know, again, is boring and unexciting and is leading the world in RBI again. You know, he's a solid first baseman in that mix.
You're right. It really falls off quickly though. Like I'm just looking at first baseman here, and like then you're getting into like Votto and Yuli Gurriel and Pete Alonso, obviously for the home runs. But you know, the batting average is not a bad 260. There aren't a ton of.
You got what you paid for with Alonso. It may not seem that like you did, but you did. You got what your money's worth from him.
Ryan Mountcastle has 30 home runs.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
I would have lost that bet. I would have had under on that for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the thing is, because it's Baltimore. I mean, they're so tragic, but it's all the pitching every single year.
Yeah, I mean, that place is a great place to hit, obviously. The other guy that's come on, we're talking about first baseman, Josh Bell's been come on. He's been good in the second half.
27 homers, yeah. 84 RBI.
And he's got 15 in 232 plate appearances in the second half, hitting 272. He started off really slow and has been pretty good for them since.
Yeah, that's right.
I think the Cats are ready to go, so I'm just going to go really quick here. Robbie Ray, we talked about him. Two pitchers, then we get out of here. Robbie Ray, main event ADP was 260. Obviously, he's probably going to win the Cy Young, especially after Garrett Cole start today. 2.64 ERA. The key with Ray has just been cutting those walks. He's been over a 10% walk guy the last 4 years. He's at 6% this year. Still some hard contact, a lot of strikeouts we always get. Where does Robbie Ray move up to? Are we talking like a third, fourth round? Like how high?
Higher. Dude, I mean, this has been the Robbie Ray L tour for me for the last 3 weeks. So I can't really go too much on this, but yeah, I was never Robbie Ray. And now I have to be maybe Robbie Ray. And I mean, just he's cut down the one thing that made him so terrible was his walks.
Yep. It was walks plus hard contact. And he had to get rid of one of them and he got rid of the walks. And it's been another level. Do you think he goes in the second round?
I think he does. I mean, the thing that might work against him is his own success, is that he's going to throw a ton of innings this year. He's going to pitch in the playoffs. If Toronto goes on a run into the playoffs, well, first of all, they have to get there. But they get there, they win a series or two. Now, you could be talking about a guy that's had a pretty big workload, but that often foretells, you know, drop off the next season.
So I gave you a guy you're taking L on, and take a guy that you're taking a W on is Sandy Alcantara, someone that you talked about in the preseason you really liked. He's been huge. His main event ADP was 107, 3.1 ERA, 180 innings. The K's are up nicely. That was kind of the thing with him is like, he's getting enough strikeouts. He's at 24%. You look at his swing strike rates at 13.5%. I think another step up in the K's is very, very possible. He's got a nice a barrel rate of 6%. He avoids hard contact. How high does Alcantara move up, or are you back in on it at the new elevated price?
What if I told you that Sandy Alcantara pitched well today and didn't get a win? Boy, would you believe it?
Yeah. Would that be something you're interested in? Yeah. It's every time with him. It's just, what does he have? Like, he has nine, he's 9-13 with a 3-1 ERA. Like, that's absurd.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely absurd. I don't see, we'll see what the Marlins do this offseason. I don't see them being a powerhouse, though. I don't see them turning around the, his luck in terms of run support. You know, funny thing today is he gets one pitcher into one batter in the seventh inning, and that's a short outing. For a lot of pitchers, like, oh, if he could only go six. Dude, he goes 8-9, 6 1/3, 7-7, 8-7. He's a machine.
And throws, throws freaking gas, too.
Yeah. He's had two horrific starts this year, one against the Dodgers, one in Coors Field. And, you know, you can't – obviously, we're not playing best ball. You're not taking out his worst two outings of the year. If you do that, though, those numbers. I mean, we're talking sub three. We're talking sub one whip. I don't know.
Someone in the chat's saying if the Marlins get Trevor Story and Nick Castellanos, are they favorites in the East? I just can't see them spending that much money, right?
Yeah. I mean, they can.
They could.
They haven't spent, you know, they've got to have all these reserves now. I mean, they're going to cry poor because every franchise out there cries poor. But, I mean, they haven't spent money in years. They have money. We'll see if they do it. But, I think, we'll see what that ball, whether those guys want to go to that ballpark. I think that's the other thing. Talk about two players that have benefited from great ballparks. Although, even though the splits aren't there this year, it's Miami's definitely not a place to go to learn to get, you know, better ballpark effects. That's for sure.
Does Trevor Story get out of the second round? Depends a lot where he signs, obviously.
It does. It really does. I think we'll have a patron in most drafts.
I do too. And you're going to,
I might be that patron.
You look at the end of the year, he's going to be like 25-20. And we're going to talk about the hard hit rate and barrel rate is still pretty good. I think we'll probably talk ourselves into it. I don't think he'll be a first rounder again, but I think he'll be a second rounder.
I'd agree with that. I mean, the fact that is because he runs though, I think that's the one thing that is going to probably keep his value up a little bit more. You know, hell, Nolan Arenado, he's got the power this year. 32 homers this year, 99 RBI. He's just not hitting for the same average. And we knew that was going to be one of the big drags on his value.
Yeah, but I mean, you're right. 32 bombs, all the power is not quite the Coors Field there, but it's not really far off either.
Yeah. No, I don't think – he asked, does Nolan opt out? No, I don't think he does.
No, I don't think he does either. All right. Anybody else that you want to talk about? That was kind of the guys that I had to discuss and Fab and all that. I think we kind of hit it all. Is anybody else, anything else on your mind on this penultimate podcast? I think that's the right word for it.
It is. Well, are we going to do two more though?
I don't know. The last Sunday is after the season's over. I don't know if we do one. I think that's your call.
I would like to do one just to wrap up the season.
Okay.
But I think give the public what they want. They want to, even though there will be no Fab to talk about, there'll be, you know, we got to tell everybody how we did. We got to celebrate two awesome comebacks by our A's and Reds into the wild card.
I gotta break down the Frankie Montas, Robbie Ray wild card matchup for us.
Yes, exactly. I think we need to do that.
God, I can't fathom playing a one game playoff against that Blue Jays lineup. That's scary.
Well, that's right. You guys are great in one game playoffs, so
it's huge. And what's great is we never give up runs in the first inning. The game's over after 5 minutes, so it's perfect. It's always fun to sit back and relax and watch.
Yeah, well, at least you don't get no hit in playoff games like we do. So there's that.
That's true. The crazy thing is, 3 years ago when they played the Yankees, Liam Hendricks was the opener in that game, and that's
I remember.
To kill him, Aaron Judge hit a 3-run bomb, and the game was over. But like,
and that was like a bold choice. That was before he became Liam Hendricks.
Yeah. It's so funny to think about it. Like, oh, who the hell was that opener they used in that game and why? And then you're like, oh, it's the guy that's the best closer in the world right now.
Yeah. Funny how things
Josh Hader might be the best closer in the world, but he's a top two closer in the world.
Best closer in the American League. How about that?
There you go. That's fair. So thanks everybody for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. We do appreciate you listening not only now, but all season long. We appreciate the sponsorship from WinBet, being the exclusive sponsor of the podcast all year long there too. If you want to follow Jeff on Twitter, he's at Jeff_Erickson. I am at Scott Jenstead. We back at you for sure next week, and we'll let you know about the week after that once we figure that out. But hope everybody has a good week. Good luck making a run in your leagues here. You got 2 weeks left. Make sure that check all those lineups tomorrow. There's going to be a big week for trying to gain some ground. There'll be a lot of games this week. So good luck with that. We'll back at you next Sunday night. Take care.